Conquering Your Pain provides general medical information. Since everyone's situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Conquering Your Pain with Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho in Kirkland, Washington. For over 30 years, Dr. Nelson has helped thousands of patients dramatically reduce or even eliminate their chronic pain using interventional pain and regenerative medicine techniques, including stem cell therapy. Conquering Your Pain is live call-in radio, so get ready to call in with your questions because Dr. Nelson may very well be able to help you too. Now, here's your host of Conquering Your Pain, Dr. Dan Nelson, along with his co-host, Jerry Berg.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another live edition of Conquering Your Pain. And good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you doing this fine morning?
I'm doing excellent. Got here plenty early, and traffic was thin as usual on a Saturday morning, or maybe a little less than usual. But anyway, glad you're here, and we have a lot to do today, lots to talk about. The lines are open for your calls at 1-800-465-8770. Same number we've been using all morning with Dr. Mixon and Rajiv Nagaya to get you right here in the studio. DJ will pick up the line and talk to you at 1-800-465-8770, and we want to talk to you. It's anything that's pain-related, chronic pain-related. That's what Dr. Nelson is best at, and figuring out why people hurt even after they've had several surgeries to fix something, and it didn't work. So, and I think there's a conspiracy going on at the station today. Someone is trying to force us all out of here. The thermostats don't work, and the furnaces are on.
Oh.
I think that someone's trying to give us all a temperature.
Well, Jerry, I guess it's a good thing I'm doing the remote broadcast, doing a little social isolation myself.
As yeah.
I let you know last night, Bernadette is a little under the weather. I don't think she's got the coronavirus, but I thought, well, probably just better if I, on the chance that I've been exposed, that I kind of stay home today. And
yeah.
She is doing better this morning, so, you know, I think we're all good. But, you know, it's just kind of the right thing to do. And, you know, I tell people, look, if you don't have to go out and about and kind of maintain your distance. And the big reason, Jerry, is that, you know, our ERs and our critical care places in the hospitals are really under stress right now with this coronavirus. Even though the vast majority of people, it's not a big risk, but you know, there are a few people getting sick, and of course the people that have other critical medical problems are also have to be seen. So it's just it's just a good idea.
People that think they might have the coronavirus and have some symptoms head for emergency room or their doctor, and it kind of plugs up the system with things that may not be necessary, and everybody's trying to err on the other side. So it creates a real problem for the medical people. I know that. So it's a good thing we can talk about this today because, you know, one of the things we want to talk about, but we want to talk about people who are suffering from chronic pain because those things, this virus is going to have its passing time and be out of our system.
Right.
But the chronic pain that people are suffering from is probably not unless they get some help. And that's what we're here for. And you want to talk to those folks on the radio at 1-800-465-8770. And if you feel free, if you want to answer some questions about the medical reasons that people are, you know, heading into the ERs and stuff today, we can talk about that too. I think that's important.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely a national security issue, that's for sure.
It sure is, Jerry, and if we have time today, you and I have been, I think, texting or talking back and forth about the whole generic drug thing and the fact that 80% of our generic drugs, or at least the constituents, are made overseas, particularly in China and India, and I think that's going to be a real front and center issue after this whole coronavirus thing kind of starts settling down. It's like... you know, what's going on? There's an excellent book out that I kind of like to plug on the air here called Bottle of Lies, L-I-E-S, Bottle of Lies, by Catherine Eban, E-B-A-N, and just got done listening to a two-hour podcast this morning, actually, on called Bottle of Lies, Ranbaxy, and the Dark Side of Indian Pharma. And it talks about this one company that just was just going roughshod over any kind of quality control, basically faking data, faking reports. The control was basically non-existent. The oversight was non-existent. Yeah. And the problem is, Jerry, as you know, our medications that are made in the U.S. are very strictly controlled, very closely monitored by the companies themselves, but also with strict FDA oversight. So, you know, you've got these companies that are based here that are doing the right thing, I think, for the most part. But, you know, a company overseas, we just don't have the oversight. So that inherently lies the problem. You know, once in a while, FDA is already...
Or the moral guidance. I'll put all that in. Moral guidance.
Yeah. And I think there is a culture of, you know, and not to, you know, not to paint with too wide a brush, but there is certainly, if you read this book, you realize there just isn't the maybe the ethical code of conduct or whatever that's overarching in most of the pharmaceutical industry in our country.
Right.
There's the more of an ethic of let's do whatever we can do to make a buck. And that's not good, you know. And we just don't have the oversight to know, you know, what exactly is going on. The FDA is already kind of overstretched, and you know, sending, you know, having somebody based in India full time, you know, it's not really a place that people want to pick up. Let's talking about a U.S. FDA inspector, for example, if they're gonna, you know, pick up everything and go live in India, and you know, it's just that's asking a lot. So we just don't have the oversight presence overseas in India or China, for example. So I think that'll be a big issue. You know, I don't want to be alarmist, but there has already been a concern. You know, if this is a fascinating book because it goes back over the whole history of, you know, generic drug industry kind of coming out of nowhere in the 1980s, and some of it was good, but there's a lot of kind of dark side to it, and including this particular pharmaceutical concern. I mean, a big company in India, well connected with the CEO, who's, you know, kind of like the Bill Gates of our. I mean, he's well known, but this company was just running roughshod over any sort of ethical conduct. So it's a fascinating but also infuriating read when you read what was actually happening, and, you know, putting millions of people at risk with, you know, essentially bogus drugs.
Well, I remember when the Chinese were caught putting Melmac in baby formula as a filler.
Right,
as a filler.
Right.
And, you know, this is truly a national security issue, when there was a story that came from a writer in China last week saying, you know, if you're not nice to us, we're going to cut you off on the drugs. You're not going to get them. You know, they don't want to have they're sort of pin the tail on the donkey here with the Chinese and this virus. They don't want any bad publicity about it. And if we start tooting that horn too much, they're going to cut us off on drugs. And, you know, right away I thought, you know, I've been worried about something like this for a long time. This is kind of like, you know, buying parts for your Abrams A1 tank from China, critical parts, because you can get them cheaper. And then all of a sudden, all your tanks can't operate anymore because the parts are broke and you can't get them. I mean, it's really not very smart to save money a little over here. And I never could understand why we couldn't make those pills here. It's going to be a little more expensive, but how much more is this? We're talking about pennies per bottle. In some cases, it might be that little.
Well, exactly right, Jerry. I mean, it's when it comes to your own health and the health of millions of Americans, then, you know, it's pretty important to know what's going into the pill that you're taking, whether it's for your, you know, for your blood pressure, diabetes, or whatever condition. Antibiotics, almost, I think it's over 80%, might be closer to 90% of our antibiotics, generic antibiotics, are made overseas.
Yeah.
So you think of just the antibiotics alone, that's kind of a that's kind of a scary situation to realize if, you know, the people in China don't like what we're saying and they could just kind of turn off the spigot to all our antibiotics. Yeah. That's kind of an alarming scenario, to say the least. So, and again, I don't want to play the alarmist, but I think this is a situation, especially in light of, you know, we're dealing with the coronavirus and kind of the peak of it. And hopefully it'll start, you know, start the descending limb of this whole thing. But it's an important issue, and I think hopefully it'll be front and center. And I'm hoping listeners out there will take note of it and ask about, you know, maybe, you know, write your congressman and talk about the generic drug issue. And it's just not one company, unfortunately. Yeah. This is a pattern of basically corruption that we see. Particularly, you don't want to call out any one country, and that's not the purpose of it. I don't care whether they're made in Sweden you know, wherever. But the fact that we're kind of putting a very critical piece of our health in the hands of people overseas that maybe don't have the best oversight compared to what we would have here in the U.S. So, you know, ask your doctor about generics. There's lots of stories I can tell you about generic drugs that just didn't seem to work, like statins, for example. Yeah. And, you know, been listening to another podcast by Dr. Peter Attia, about why generic drugs sometimes don't work. And, you know, a lot of physicians out there just realize sometimes they have to change the generic drug maker and go to a different one because the one statin or blood pressure medication or whatever just doesn't seem to work right. And so I think a lot of primary care doctors are aware of this phenomenon, but they probably don't know how widespread the problem potentially is.
You know, every one of us who are taking any drugs is probably taking something that's a generic. And one of the things that they could do immediately is make the pharmacies put the origin of the prescription you're taking, which pharmaceutical company is making it and what country they're in. Right on the label, and so you know that you're getting something that's coming from a good source or maybe possibly not one. I think many people are like me that assumed that because a drug is generic, it just means that they can't charge the high cost for it anymore because the patent has run out or whatever they have done on that they own, and now someone else can pick up that same formula and make it. And I was assuming that just other pharmaceutical companies in the United States were doing that. It's kind of like it was open the door to everybody to who was in that business to reproduce that drug. But apparently it's taken further than that. And I personally blame this on people that are bean counters that come out of Harvard and Yale and try and squeeze every last penny to the bottom line with any company. And I've seen them do it many times where they just totally destroy any credibility with the company just to save a few bucks along the line.
You make an excellent point, Jerry. I mean, we assume a generic is basically the bioequivalent of whatever, say, a Lipitor. You get a generic Lipitor that it's going to be the same as the brand name, whatever whatever medication.
Right.
The truth is, it's not that simple because the makers of the original drug, you know, they spend, you know, billions of dollars in 10 years to come up with, you know, in the pipeline to come out with this pharmaceutical. And so once it's off patent, they don't necessarily give up the secret sauce, you know, how they made it. So all these companies, I mean, particularly in India and China, they have to do some reverse engineering. They take the medication and they analyze it, and then they have to file some sort of permission with the FDA to be first in line. So this book goes into all kinds of detail on that. But they're not really making it the way, say, the original maker made it, if you follow my drift. So they're reverse engineering, and maybe you know, it's like baking grandma's special recipe pie or something, and, you know, maybe there's, you know, 15 steps or whatever, and these companies are saying, well, we figured out, you know, 9 steps how to do it. And but, you know, is it really the same, and is it just as active? Is it being absorbed, you know, like the original medication? Is it, you know, is the half-life the same? Is it empirically active like this the original medication? These are all kind of questions we don't know. And these generic drug makers, of course, are supposed to be supplying all the reports and testing, and you know they're. It's clear that that's not happening, at least from what this book says, is they are falsifying records, falsifying reports and data.
Yeah.
So it really, really calls into question what, you know, what are we exactly, what's exactly in the pill that we're taking for whatever condition we have.
Yeah.
So.
And is there a way that people can guard against that? Now I know there's going to be shortages in a lot of drugs if we continue in this thing for very long. But can you tell and pay the extra price and get drugs that are not generic just to make sure that you're, especially for something like a heart medication that you
right.
need, you need to stay alive.
Yep.
You can't play that roulette game of the best price around.
No, no. I think it's a conversation that people should have with their prescribing doctor to say, okay, what's the chance? You know, is the you know, because typically most medications are written by the doctor as you know, it's either dispensed as written, which you sign on one piece, or you just the other place you sign is you know, generic is acceptable.
Yeah.
And so most of us have been trained to just well, you know, low costs in mind for the thinking the patients are. For the benefit of the patients, we want them not to have to pay a lot out of pocket. So I typically will sign, you know, generic acceptable on that medication, on that prescription. So I think it's, you know, we should be asking our prescribing doctors is what's the story? Is generic is good? And they may not know. But then, like you said, you go to the pharmacist and say, well, give me the lowdown on this generic drug. What do you know? Where is it made?
Yeah.
And they should be able to provide you with that information because the pharmacists are also getting the low bid too, right?
Sure.
They're in the business to make a little money. So if they have a choice of getting something that they think is the same medication but a little cheaper, obviously they're probably going to go with the cheaper alternative.
Yeah, and so the insurance companies will do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. They'll they're you know, so every it's not like there's one person to blame in this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, a combination of things. I mean, when Obamacare came out, there was a big push to even before it, preceding Obamacare, there was a big push to go generic and save a lot of these health plans, including public option plans, to save money as much as possible, because you know the drug bill every year in this country is substantial. So I don't think it's, you know, pointing fingers at any one person, but when you read this book and listen to Catherine even talk about what, particularly in India, and we know some of this is also happening in other countries, it's a real concern.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I think the thing that you know, we were all assuming, everybody along the line is assuming that these generic drugs are just as good, and they're not. And this is an eye-opening moment in history right now to a problem, and we need to follow through with this because the news cycle, when this virus we're dealing with right now dies down, the news cycle will go on to something else, and people will forget about it. But we need to make sure that we make a big enough footprint about what's going on right now with the drugs and how vulnerable we are, to make our government do something about monitoring and just doing everything that's supposed to be done with it. So, hey, time for us to take a break and take a caller. So what's the name of that book one more time, Doctor?
Yes, the name of that book is called Bottle of Lies by Catherine Eben. Subtitle, Rambaxi and the Dark Side of Indian Pharma. So Bottle of Lies, Catherine Eben, E-B-A-N.
Got it. We'll have a caller on that, and he's on hold, or he or she is, and we'll talk about it when we get back if they want to. But the lines are open for you to call in with anything regarding what we topics we talked about today or the pain that is in your life and affecting someone in your life. Give us a call at 1-800-465-8770. If the doctor has told you you have bone on bone and need a knee replacement or a hip replacement, elbow, any of them, give us a call. A doctor can talk to you about some alternatives to that, because surgery is not the only thing that could be on the table for you to solve your problem. I'm Jerry Berg, along with Dr. Dan Nelson. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling with ongoing pain that just won't go away? Then now is the time to call and talk with Dr. Dan Nelson. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. When considering stem cell therapy, it only makes sense to consider the only doctor with over 30 years of legitimate experience in pain management that deals with stem cell therapy. And that's Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho. Listen to what a satisfied patient had to say.
Dr. Dan, God bless you, brother. I tell you, I had stem cell treatment about 4 months ago on my right knee, and I'm like a new man, doctor. I mean, it is unbelievable. I was in a lot of pain, and I'd had cortisone shots, and there was another doctor that I had seen, and of course, they were talking about the surgery route. I listened to your show, came in to see you, and you did the treatment, and it's just truly amazing. I'm like a new man in the right knee. I am one pleased individual.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho in Kirtland. 425-823-4000. 425-823-4000.
You're listening to Conquering Your Pain. Are you one of the 90 million people in the U.S. affected by chronic persistence or recurring pain? If so, this program is definitely for you. Live and local from downtown Seattle, you can call in to get answers and a second opinion. Dr. Dan Nelson is ready to take your calls at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770.
And we are back. On a Saturday morning with Conquering Your Pain, Dr. Dan Nelson from ProOrtho in Kirkland. And we got a special couple numbers for you as a listener to this program. Two ways that you can make an appointment. A special phone number to call is 425-636-4442. That's the inside line directly to the desks of the receptionist at Conquering Your Pain and Dr. Dan Nelson's office at ProOrtho in Kirkland. So that's 425-636-4442. The other thing you can do is you can go online to conqueringyourpain.com, and this is to save you some time, too. You can look at the bar at the top of the page. It's one that says book your appointment. It's kind of light, translucent colors up there, a phone number there, but also an email. And what you can do is click on that, and it'll open up a window to put your name and what you want and a little bit about your ailment, and you want to make an appointment, and they'll get back to you and give you that appointment. So another way to contact them, too. So you can do that if you prefer that method. Now, let's see. The phone lines are open. Once again, I'll remind you at 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770. So, Dan, just to get back a little bit to what we were talking about, I know that you wanted to kind of pat Evergreen Hospital on the back a little bit for what they're doing, because they're sort of at the epicenter of this in Washington State.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they are ground zero. Unfortunately, and Evergreen is my hospital, where at ProOrtho we're about a half a block away from Evergreen Hospital, and it's this outstanding institution, and you know, unfortunately, this first case, this first death in Washington and the U.S., as a matter of fact, occurred at Evergreen Hospital, and just wanted to tell people this is a excellent hospital. They're doing just outstanding work and responding just in an exemplary way. Good friends of mine, Dr. Jeff Tomlin, who is the chief medical officer and the CEO of Evergreen. I know he has hands full. Dr. Frank Rito, also a personal friend of mine who's head of infectious disease there. A couple of weeks ago, he was front and center doing a national news conference that I saw in the studio that was going on. Also friends working in the ER and the hospitalist and intensivist. Again, the ER and the intensive care areas being really, really kind of taxed to the limit right now, and they're working very, I know the intensivists and the hospitalists are spending days in the hospital, not going home, because there's so much, you know, just the workload right now is tremendous, but they're doing an outstanding job. I know a lot of these folks personally. A lot of them are friends of mine, and just want to give them a shout out, because unfortunately, you know, you get this, they'll Evergreen Hospital kind of get this you know, maybe this cloud over their head is having the first death in the U.S., but I can't think of a better hospital in the state, to be honest. And I'm very proud to be on the medical staff. I'm halfway tempted to go in on Monday. I have the day off on Monday. I wanted to go help, but then I thought, well, maybe that's not the best thing, you know, because, I just want to give a shout out and support to my good friends working at Evergreen Hospital. It's just the medical staff is outstanding, and they're doing just a great job.
Yeah.
I'm keeping in touch with a few of them, especially I won't mention too many names, but somebody who's head of the ER there and working very hard, and kind of giving us little snippets of information, just how a challenging situation, but they're responding fantastically and doing great work. And I also do a little bit of shout out to my own clinic at Pro Ortho. We're part of Pro Alliance. We're Pro Ortho in Totem Lake and Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing all the right things. We've got our systems in place. Everybody coming through the front door only gets checked, gets a temperature check, a non-contact temperature check. Of course, if anybody has any respiratory issues or not feeling well, we ask them not to come to the clinic. But we're open for business, and we're still seeing patients. And even the providers, myself and the PAs, we get our temperature checked twice a day. We have to sign in and before we start our work and get checked out. So and we have people are just going above and beyond, just making sure everything's spick and span, cleaned, all the surfaces are being cleaned several times a day. Of course, we have the hand sanitizers and masks available for people that request that. So we're just seeing people just respond just fabulously to the challenge.
Yeah. And just, if you use the precautions you would use, that you should be using every time the flu bug goes around, you're going to probably be just fine. I think one of the things we haven't talked much about, and they don't talk much about it in the media, is how many regular flu cases there are, even right now. And I think last year, I think there was like 50,000 people that died from the flu. The regular flu, it happens, and it primarily is people who have issues already or are elderly and have issues on top of that. And it seems like it's playing out kind of like that right now too. So.
Right.
This one.
Yeah, the regular influenza is far statistically far more deadly in this country and around the world than the COVID-19 is, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we've got the sensation with the full wind behind COVID-19 right now, and that's, headlines and, there's the only thing I would say is, the real threat is pretty minor as a whole.
Yeah.
And of course, the social distancing right now, staying home, not a bad idea, mainly to keep the pressure off the ERs and the intensive care units of the hospital. I think that's a good idea, like we said, flattening out the curve so we're not to kind of stretch this thing out so our resources in those areas don't get overtaxed. Last night I was watching President Trump's news conference, and one of the reporters was taking him to task. Well, how many ventilators do we have? Do we have enough in the country? Well, it's an oversimplified question, because every ventilator that's working requires a one-on-one critical care nurse and a respiratory tech that has monitoring, at most three or four of the ventilators, plus the doctor. Doctor can manage, maybe three or four of those at any one time. So it's not the machine, in other words, doesn't run by itself. The ventilators need very skilled, dedicated people.
Yeah.
So it is a crisis of sorts, but I think at the same time, I think everybody across the country, certainly in our area, our neck of the woods, people are doing a fantastic job, and this too shall pass, right? And,
yep.
And if anything, I think good things will come out of it. I think that we'll, understand and have things in place, hopefully, because it's going to happen again, right? I mean, this is inevitable.
Yep.
We're going to have some sort of virus coming out of somewhere. So the more we know and we get, we're all kind of preloaded, so to speak, to respond appropriately.
So
it's all good stuff.
As a non-medical person, the first thing that comes to mind for me, for many people, practice the sanitizing and the things that you normally do to protect your family and that from the bug. But also, get plenty of rest. Don't let your immune system run down because you've been working too hard, not getting enough sleep, you've been partying a little bit, or whatever it is, or just sitting around worrying. You got to get your rest, or your immune system goes in the tank pretty quickly.
That's exactly right, Jerry. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, getting rest, not, you know, don't worry too much about, you know, fretting doesn't solve anything, but, you know, just have a plan in place to get rest. I'm a big believer in just kind of regular exercise, even walking.
Yeah.
And because we know that the immune system is optimized by a good diet and you know, exercise, including cardiovascular exercise and probably also resistance training. You know, it's often said that the best thing we can do as doctors, the most valuable things we can prescribe are a good diet and regular exercise. You know, forget the prescription pad. Those are the two things that would probably do the most good to the population as a whole. So, and, you know, outside, if you're walking around, obviously you're not in a closed environment, so it's pretty darn safe to be walking around. Like, I'm looking outside today, it looks like a pretty nice day for a walk, actually.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that's not going to pose a threat to people. Obviously, taking care, you know, the hand washing and those kind of things, that's something we should be doing 365 days a year. So
yeah.
that's all good stuff.
So anyway, we're going to take a break right now, Alec in Tacoma. We're going to thank you for waiting, and we're going to get to you as soon as we come back. We're going to get straight into calls. Don and Everett, also, you have a great question. Let's stick around for that, if you would, please. So, and anybody else, we have a couple more lines you can get in line, and we'll take all the calls we can get in before the end of the program at 1-800-465-8770. Give us a call right now, and DJ will take your information. I'm Jerry Berg, along with our Dr. Dan Nelson from Conquering Your Pain, Pro Ortho in Kirkland, a pain specialist. And we can talk to him and you and everybody else when we come back from this quick break.
Are you at the end of your rope with chronic, persistent, or recurring pain? Call now to talk with Dr. Dan Nelson at 1-800-465-8770. At ProOrtho, Dr. Nelson is committed to a compassionate approach towards alleviating pain, restoring health, and improving your quality of life. The lines are open for your call at 800-465-8770. When considering stem cell therapy, it only makes sense to consider the only doctor with over 30 years of legitimate experience in pain management that deals with stem cell therapy. And that's Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho. Listen to what a satisfied patient had to say.
I had retired from law enforcement, although I was still heavily involved in training law enforcement, and a lot of that was in rural and wooded areas. In the course of all this walking through the woods, I mean, I've had two arthroscopic surgeries on my right knee, and every time I took a step, even when I had a lot of Excedrin on board, my right knee was killing me, and I'd heard about stem cell. I wasn't expecting miracles. A little bit of pain reduction would have been great. And I'm only 3 weeks out right now. Walking normally. I will say up front that there's always that tiny bit of apprehension about the unknown, but you drew the blood and flipped me over and aspirated the bone marrow, and I kept waiting because sometimes he would say, well, this might be a little uncomfortable, and I'm still waiting. It still hasn't. There were no problems at all, and I was happy, you were happy, and I'm still happy.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with ProOrtho in Kirkland. 425-823-4000. 425-823-4000.
Welcome back to Conquering Your Pain. If you are suffering from chronic pain, find out what you can do about it right now. The lines are open for your call to Dr. Dan Nelson. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770.
I walked into the master control room a few minutes ago, and Dan is sitting in there, our DJ guy, and I think it's 80 degrees in there. It's really warm. Anyway, let's get right to the calls, Doctor. We've been waiting for quite a while. Lines are open. We can get in a couple more lines right now, and you can wait on hold to take advantage of a conversation with Dr. Dan Nelson. Get some questions answered at 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770. As we go down to Tacoma, And Alec is waiting for us there. Alec, welcome to the program.
Hi. Well, what a wonderful program. I think it's long overdue that we've needed emphasis on this information.
Thank you.
And the mere fact that encouraging people to wash their hands, I think that's one of the biggest problems we have in this country and probably in the world as we've traveled around it. People in restaurants, people even in the hospital industry and in the gaming industry, I've noticed there's a lack. So we've had to mention it to staff in restaurants before about the importance of washing the hands. And also we've had to question our medical caregivers sometimes if we notice they come in, didn't wash their hands. They said, well, we gel up. But one of the things that brought it to my attention is once a year we take a relative to the gambling casino here in Tacoma. And then when you go into the men's room to do whatever biological you need, it appears to me that over a period of about 50% of the people don't wash their hands when they leave.
Yeah.
They're on the doorknob when they leave, and then they're back onto the machines and hanging on to the rails. And I think this is one of the big reasons we have such a flu problem every year in this country is because of the lack of hygiene.
Good point.
But that isn't the reason I called. I called about the book that you talked about, and the medication that I'm taking is warfarin, and I've been taking it for 5 years, and I take no other medication, and it's for AFib, and I can't find any place on the bottle where this is manufactured. But the thing that's brought my attention to this is every month I go in for my INR readings, and there's about a 20% difference from month to month, even though I take it persistently as scheduled, right on time. And I'm wondering, is it due to the lack of maybe quality in this medicine that we're getting? It can vary that much in batches?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So the warfarin, also known as Coumadin, the generic name for warfarin, that's unfortunately notoriously can vary. The effects of warfarin can vary tremendously. And some of those things that may, you know, we don't know. It's diet related. So I would be, I wouldn't ascribe that to a generic problem per se. I just think that's just the nature of warfarin. And that's why it has to be, you know, you have to get your INR checked, you know, I don't know how often, you know, once a month.
I tried me on other medications, and this was the only one that really did the job for me. I think there were three types that they had, and I had problems with the other two, but no difficulties with this warfarin. So that's the reason we're on warfarin.
Yeah, no, that's a great call, and I think you know you really I really think people should ask their pharmacist when they get it filled. Is it, you know, where is this coming from? Because I think, you know, with what I'm learning and reading about, and it's just kind of an eye-opener. So again, that book, and I'm going to try to post something on my Conquering Your Pain website. Again, don't want to beat a horse to death, but that book is called Bottle of Lies, Rambaxi and the Dark Side of Indian Pharma, and that's by Catherine Eban, E-B-A-N, who is an investigative reporter, does very fine work, and has, you know, written a number of, done some great investigative journalism over the years. So I think, you know, again, this is one of those things where we need to pay attention. I think the thing about the hand washing, I'm totally with you. In fact, I try to make a point when I'm going in to see my patients that I'm showing that I'm gelling my hands as I'm walking in. So they see me rubbing my hands, so they know. And as soon as I'm done, I do the same thing. I get the gel in the exam room, for example, and I'll gel up as I'm leaving. And if I touch the patient, you know, which typically we'll do a physical exam where we have to touch the patient. So immediately after I'm done touching, I reach for the gel. And it's got to be a habit. And I would say, again, you know, kind of bragging on my own hospital, every hospital, we've had this in place for 10 years where the gel in, gel out, and, you know, yeah. And we encourage patients to ask, doctor, did you clean your hands before you're coming in my room? That should be totally transparent, and they shouldn't hesitate and say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
one
it's
of the
just
things we look for in restaurants, if first thing we'll do is we'll go in and check the restrooms, and if they don't have, if they're not clean and they don't have hot water, we leave in the sink.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. They should have the sign up there for that employees are required to wash their hands. And if you don't see hot water, that's a problem.
It's sad that they have to put that sign up because it's already too late if you have to remind somebody that their mindset is incorrect, that they have to be told to wash their hands because more than likely they're going to ignore it anyway because they don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
Another thing people don't think about is you go into the restaurant, you're going to sit down and eat. You've cleaned your hands, you know, and then you're looking at the menu, and then you order your food and you wait for it. Well, at that point was when you need to clean your hands again, because that menu is probably as dirty as anything you've ever touched all day.
Yeah. You know, I see a lot of restaurants, Jerry, that are actually just printing out menus now, handy, and then they throw the menus away after you're done looking at it. Yeah. So it's just you get a paper. And, you know, most of them have a very nice paper menu that they hand out. I was just out to dinner the other night. That's what they did. They had a very nice printed out menu, but they throw them away as soon as you're done with them. So.
Yeah.
I think as a society, if we were to follow good hand-washing procedures, we could reduce that the kill on the flu by 20% every year.
Yeah.
I think that's probably realistic. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And
Both of you. This is for both of you. How do you feel about these? They've taken the paper towels out of the restrooms, and they've put these blowers in there. I have a real problem with those. Because germs are floating around in the air. And my theory is that that blower picks up that air, moisturizes it for you, because it takes the air and mixes it with the water on your hands as it's blowing it, and blows the germs all over your hands. So you basically washed your hands for nothing.
Now I got another problem to worry about.
Well, that's my take on it. So, you know, it's a... I end up, you know, washing my hands many times in those places. They don't have it. And what I do is I walk out with dripping wet hands, and I just shake them off. But then the first person I find I can complain about not having paper towels, I let them know.
Yeah. Right. Well, Jerry, I'm on board with you. I think those blowers are just aerosolizing what's left on your hands. I'm not a big fan. Plus, they're super noisy.
Yeah.
Of them are the you know, not to pick on anybody in particular, but the Dyson ones, at least the older ones, are extremely, they've got a very high-pitched, noisy whine. And, you know, my ears are a little sensitive anyway. But, no, I'm not a big fan of the blowers. I think the paper towels are the way to go. I mean, not that that's the perfect system either, but I'm just for the same reason, I think you're just aerosolizing any germs that are, you know, particles on your hands, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Moisturize them and blow them back where they can get you.
Right.
Hey, don't forget the steering wheels on our cars.
Absolutely.
Good point.
I've been opening the door on my car from the outside, not touching the knobs on the inside, and grabbing the wiper I have and wipe the steering wheel down and my hands before I start driving. So.
Wow, you guys are terrific. Thank you very much for the show.
You bet. Thanks for your call. Thanks for being in the audience.
Thanks for the great call.
Yep.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Let's go to Don now in Everett. Don, thanks for waiting. And Randy, don't go away. We're coming to you next. Don, welcome to the program. Oh, wait a minute. I got to push another button. Oh. There you go. Okay.
2 weeks ago or so, I took my wife to your office, and your PA talked to her. We brought our x-rays. She's got a complex regional pain syndrome that started on November 16th, and which she's still having problems with. And so we agreed to do a stem cell on it and signed all the papers. But your PA mentioned that that would tend to lower her immune system, and that has scared my wife to no end. Can you tell me how bad that is?
I think this discussion would be, does the stem cell procedure itself lower your immune system, or potentially lower her immune system? Was that the...
Yeah, well, that was it, yeah. She applied that over the PRP... whatever, some part of it was going to drop her immune system.
She's
74, and I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah. No, and I'm not sure how Sarah, my PA, answered that, but it's, and maybe that's worth a discussion, but definitely would not lower her immune system. So I would like to make that clear. That all we're doing is taking the stem cells from the bone marrow and taking them out of the bone marrow, concentrating them, and putting them to work through an injection. So in no way – now, it will modify the immune system, say, in the joint, or, for example, in a knee joint. If we inject stem cells in a knee joint, the stem cells definitely have an immune modulatory effect, which is a good thing because – if you have arthritis, that just means it's chronic inflammation. So there's this kind of toxic soup of chronic inflammation that goes with that. And the stem cells have a modifying effect on that inflammation, but in a positive way. There's no negative aspect to that. In fact, I would say that probably and most likely that if anything, taking the stem cells out of the bone marrow and placing them in a joint or and eventually some of that gets in the systemic circulation as well, that if anything, that's probably a positive thing for the immune system. Now, the obvious question to me and maybe people listening out there, why don't those stem cells in the bone marrow get out and do the work that we're trying to make them do on their own? Well, it just doesn't happen. We don't know. We do know that the stem cells that you have in your joints when you're a young person, say in your knees, and you have, say, wearing of the cartilage or tendons or whatever, there's turnover in the cartilage, but the stem cells keep up when you're young. That's not the case as you get older, and that's why, you know, certainly starting in your 40s and 50s that people start seeing arthritis. And really, the only thing that we have to treat arthritis currently that treats the underlying condition is stem cell therapy. I mean, you can get a joint replacement, but you're not really treating the arthritis. You're just amputating the joint and putting hardware in there. So anyway, my take on this would be that stem cell treatment would definitely not lower the immune system. Now, I can't cite a scientific reference for that, but I can just tell you that intuitively I would say that wouldn't put anybody at risk or lower their immune system. Now, the procedure itself, there is always some inherent risk. You know, whether you break the skin barrier with an injection or incision, you're always going to confront the risk of bleeding, infection, and nerve damage. Those are really minimal with this procedure. I mean, there's no major blood vessels or nerves in the way of what we're doing. And the infection risk is always there, but we take great precautions to minimize infection, including prepping the patient properly before we harvest the bone marrow and also at the injection site. So there's also studies indicating that PRP and stem cells probably have there's people doing research in these areas using stem cells and PRP to combat antibiotic resistance infections. I know that's an area of research. So if anything, I would say it's probably the opposite is true.
Oh, good.
Okay, Don?
I'm hoping my wife is listening in. I'm hoping that.
Oh, good.
Comforts her.
hopefully that's reassuring.
Thank you. And
I'll talk to Sarah. I'm not sure that if that was miscommunicated, but you know, Sarah's outstanding, and she is. I say that she's the best PA in the state. But sometimes, you know, the clarification is, you know, it's a process of, you know, we always want to improve our communication and how we're conveying information. So that I will take
you
that
did a
to
good
heart.
Job. That,
she is outstanding. She is very, very good. Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. That was a great, great call-in.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Don, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay.
We're going to go to Randy in Camino Island after this quick break. Our lines are open till the end of the show for your calls at 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770. You can't count on talking to the doctor off the air today. You can call in and get on the air if you do it right now. So we'll take that break and come back to Randy and your calls at 1-800-465-8770.
Are you struggling with ongoing pain that just won't go away? Get answers now. Call and talk with Dr. Dan Nelson. The lines are open at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. When considering stem cell therapy, it only makes sense to consider the only doctor with over 30 years of legitimate experience in pain management that deals with stem cell therapy. And that's Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho. Listen to what June has to say.
I recently had stem cell therapy on my knee with you. I've been sort of hobbling around with this left knee for a long, long time. I was listening to Dr. Mixon, and he recommended you and the stem cell therapy, and I made a consultation. And from that consultation, a couple of weeks later, I had my stem cell therapy done, and quite honestly, I'm so happy with the results. I can kneel, I can do this, I can do that. I'm just very happy, and so my plan is to have the other one done in the fall.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho in Kirkland, 425-823-4000, 425-823-4000.
Have you heard about stem cell or PRP therapy as an alternative to knee, hip, and shoulder replacement surgery? This is Conquering Your Pain. Dr. Dan Nelson has been in pain management medicine for over 28 years. Now is your chance for a radio appointment with one of Seattle's top doctors. The lines are open at 800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770.
And it's 11:51. Time for us to take another call, and lines are open.
Jerry, can I just interject something here real
Absolutely.
Quick? I'm doing a remote show today. Won't be able to hang around and take calls, but if I just want to tell the listeners about the text line.
Oh, yeah.
The text line, if I can't get to your call, please text me, and I'll give out that number. It's 425-362-5585, and once again, 425-362-5585. And that's a special text line for our listeners in case I don't get to your call. We, of course, we love you, call in, and we'll just try to get to as many as we can, Jerry.
And I apologize for not getting to that sooner. That's what happens when you give me a week off. Write that number down, 425-362-5585. Okay, and we'll be giving it again before we end the program today, too. So let's go to Randy in Camano Island with a question about Medicare. Doctor, and Randy. Randy, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, doctor, I was just wondering if you guys also, you know, work with patients on Medicare.
Absolutely. We do, Randy. So we take Medicare. We take, as part of, you know, our clinic, Pro Ortho, as part of Pro Alliance, we're contracted with virtually almost every insurance plan out there. There's a few exceptions, but vast majority we are contracted with. So that means if we see a patient in consultation, that visit is covered by your medical insurance, including medical, you know, including Medicare. Any tests that we order, say x-rays or MRI, that also would be covered by your insurance. So the short answer is yes.
Okay, what about the stem cell implant itself?
Right. Yeah, great follow-up question. And that procedure, unfortunately, is not typically covered by medical insurance. So that's the one, you know, the one drawback is this is a new kind of cutting edge area of medicine. It's not really accepted as by most, you know, per policy, not accepted by most insurance companies. I'm hoping that will change, and I always encourage people, listeners, and patients to talk to the insurance company and say, hey, when are you guys going to get on board with the stem cell thing? Because, I've said this many times on the show, stem cell therapy is here to stay. It's going to change the face of medicine in so many ways, hopefully within the next 10 years, that it'll be a foregone conclusion. I mean, I see firsthand how effective it is for so many things. And we're just, you know, our focus is musculoskeletal, but I think it's going to change the way we treat things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and, you know, cardiac disease. I mean, there's research is going on all over the place, and this is, it's just a matter of time. I mean, I think it's the next best thing in healthcare.
And one more thing, okay, Randy, is that Medicare covers and the insurance covers everything up to but not including the actual stem cell treatment. So all of the x-rays and things and office calls before that are covered.
Okay. So okay, that goes into my next question. On a percentage basis, and I know this is, I mean, it's kind of a rule of thumb, for lack of better words, what would, let's say you need to have something done with your hip and say, or right, a knee. What would the percentage be? What would a person on a limited income you know, retirement income, what would he have to budget on a percentage basis versus what Medicare would pay and what he's going to have to pay out of pocket to do, you know, stem cells in the hip joint, for instance?
Right, right. No, great question. So one joint treatment for stem cell therapy, we do stem cell and PRP. PRP comes from the blood, the platelet-rich plasma. The platelets are involved in blood clotting, but they also have growth factor. The stem cells come from the bone marrow, and we have a special machine that processes both of those to make it easily injectable. So for budgeting, for, you know, it's what we charge for one joint is $6,500. Admittedly, a lot of money, nothing to sneeze at, but with that, you get stem cell PRP, and then at 6 weeks, you get a follow-up, or we call booster PRP injection. And we also add on for free to that something called MyACT, which is myofascial activation machine that we, that's made in Germany. That's also, we feel, a critical piece of the puzzle. Not many people are doing this, but I've had the MyACT machine in my practice for over 10 years, and it's a non-invasive way to kind of rev up and keep the stem cells going after they've been injected. So, you know, we got a really comprehensive plan, and, you know, 80% of our patients, and we have a registry, we have our own registry where we follow patients, 80% of our patients would tell us that they are happy they did the procedure and that they would recommend it to other people. So it's not a, you know, 80% means 20% are maybe, you know, maybe not as good, not as successful, but we also have other things we do. Even some of the 20%ers that don't respond initially, we have a plan for those folks as well, because we have what we call the big toolbox, right, Jerry? So the big toolbox is available. And the big toolbox has a lot of great tools, and most of those tools in the toolbox are covered by insurance, including Medicare. The stem cell piece of it, unfortunately, at this point in time is not. But with us, you're getting a comprehensive approach. So there's people where I said, you know, stem cell is probably not best option for you, but I have something else here in the toolbox that is covered by insurance. So in some ways, it's kind of like, it sounds very self-promoting, but I do what's best for the patient, you know, just because that's the best way to practice medicine. And you feel, sure. I feel good about what I do. I feel I can sleep at night and not feel like I always tell people I was never the smartest guy in the room, say in medical school, and I did pretty well. But I always knew that if I did the right thing, everything seems to work out.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'll get off my little soapbox.
Okay,
right now,
Randy, we got to go. Got to grab another call before the end of the show. Text.
Hey, I do have one other question. I'll be really quick here.
Sure.
My father's got neuropathy in his leg. Do you have some care that will help somebody with neuropathy?
We absolutely do. That's a long answer, though, and we have some options, including the Vertiflex Superion that he may be a candidate for. But, you'd really I'd encourage him to come in, and we can talk about treatments for neuropathy.
All right.
Okay, Randy.
Yeah,
with that, we are clean out of time. If you have any more questions for a doctor, you want to text him, you can do that right now at 425-362-5585, 425-362-5585. And to Joe in Snohomish, please, please give us a call next week. We'd love to talk with you and share what you had to say. We ran out of time. I'm so sorry for that. Be sure to go to proortho.com or conqueringyourpain.com. Make an appointment right there. Doctor, we'll see you next week right here on the radio, huh?
Sounds good, Jerry. Thank you.
In the meantime, everybody, have a great weekend. Stay healthy, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
You've been listening to Conquering Your Pain with Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho in Kirkland. If you would like to make an appointment with Dr. Nelson at Pro Ortho, simply call 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. Be sure to join us again next week here on AM 770 KTTH at 11 for another live edition of Conquering Your Pain.